Welcome to Cruise News, your daily update on everything happening at sea. Visit cruisenews.io to see today's stories and sign up for email alerts. We have a really interesting deep dive for you today. We're looking at three big stories that kind of show this tension happening right now in the cruise world. You've got this focus on, you know, incredible scale, amazing new ships, real innovation. But then there's the other side, the serious business of keeping things safe and orderly on board.
Yeah, it's a real balancing act, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we've got sources talking about the crackdown on, well, unruly passengers, stricter rules. But then we're also celebrating two huge new ships launching. Princess Cruises' Star Princess and Disney Cruise Line's Disney Destiny.
For two massive additions.
So the big question, I think, is, as these ships get bigger, basically floating cities, right?
Yeah.
How does the industry actually manage, you know, people just being people, sometimes chaotic people?
It's a huge challenge.
Okay, let's tackle the serious stuff first. We've all seen them, haven't we? Those viral videos, fights, arguments over chairs, sometimes, yeah, actual brawls breaking out.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It seems more common, or at least more visible now.
And because of that, the major cruise lines are, well, they're done with warnings, it seems. They're moving straight to pretty severe penalties.
They really are. And what's interesting is the strategy here. It's not just about getting one disruptive person off the ship. It's about setting a really strong example, legally and financially.
Okay.
So passengers involved in, like, physical fights, they're facing immediate consequences. It's sort of a three-part punch that just stops their trip, and maybe more than just their trip, dead in its tracks.
So tell us about those immediate consequences, because the sources suggest this isn't just talk, it's actually happening.
Oh, it's definitely happening. The first thing is confinement, usually in their cabin, maybe a dedicated security cabin,
yeah.
Or on some ships. Yeah, actual brig.
A brig, really.
On some larger vessels, yes. And right after that, it's immediate disembarkation. Next port of call. Period.
And that's where it gets complicated for others too, right?
Exactly. That's the ripple effect.
Because you could just be, you know, having your vacation, maybe reading a book on the balcony, and suddenly your whole trip is over because your cabin mate got into a fight.
That's right. The policies are pretty clear now. Family members, anyone sharing that cabin booking, they might also have to leave the ship immediately. Doesn't matter if they were involved or not.
Wow.
And then there's the money side. Beyond just being stranded somewhere, it may be a port you didn't even plan to visit properly.
Yeah, the logistics must be a nightmare.
Totally. But financially, Carnival Cruise Line and Margaritaville at sea, they're specifically hitting people with a $500 fine just for fighting.
Okay, $500. That's not nothing, but it sounds like the least of your worries financially at that point.
Oh, absolutely. That fine is almost symbolic. The real hit is, number one, you forfeit the rest of your cruise fare, thousands of dollars probably, gone. And number two, you are completely on your own to get home. Booking flights last minute from some random port, hotels, dealing with customs or visas if it's international, that's all on you. Plus any medical bills or, heaven forbid, legal fees if the port authorities get involved.
And that's a real risk, isn't it? Getting handed over to local police when you get off the ship, especially if someone got hurt or property was damaged.
Yes, that's where it potentially escalates from breaking cruise line rules to, you know, actual criminal charges. Local police are getting involved more often. Arrests happen, court appearances, assault charges. That could mean a permanent criminal record. It's a serious deterrent now.
And for people who love cruising, maybe the biggest punishment is being told you can never cruise again. That do not sail list. How widely is that shared?
Well, the list itself is usually kept by the specific cruise line. But, and this is key, within the big corporate families, they absolutely share that information. So you get a lifetime ban from, say, Carnival Cruise Line. You're almost certainly banned from Princess Cruises, Holland America Line, Costa, you know, anyone under that Carnival Corporation umbrella.
Right. So it effectively locks you out of a huge chunk of the cruise market.
It really does. A massive segment.
And you can see why they need these strict rules from an operational standpoint, too. These fights and things, they're not just, you know, annoying. They actually pull staff away from their real jobs. I saw a note about a buffet incident. Someone threw salt shakers.
Yeah, glass salt shakers. That's a perfect example of the drain on resources. Suddenly, security isn't doing patrols. They're managing a fight scene. Medical
yeah.
staff might be needed. Management has to step in, deal with cleanup, maybe damaged property.
Mm.
And they might have to coordinate with court agents, customs.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and focus away from serving the other, you know, thousands of guests who are just trying to have a good time.
So for the average cruiser, the person who just wants a peaceful vacation, What's the best advice? How do you avoid getting caught up in this?
It's really about being prepared and, honestly, staying out of it. First, actually read the guest conduct policy before you go. It's usually online.
Good point.
Second, watch the alcohol intake. It's often a factor in these things. And third, maybe most important, if you see something kicking off or if you feel unsafe, don't try to be a hero. Don't jump in.
Right.
Report it immediately. Find a crew member, call security, go to guest services, let the trained professionals handle it. That's the safest thing for everyone.
That makes a lot of sense. Protect your own vacation, let the crew do their job. It really highlights how much relies on that crew, doesn't it? Especially on these enormous new ships.
Absolutely. The scale is incredible.
Which actually is a perfect transition. Let's shift gears from conduct rules to the exciting stuff, the hardware. Let's talk about Princess Cruises' newest ship, the second in their Sphere class, Star Princess.
Yes, this is a big one for Princess. Yeah. Star Princess, second Sphere class ship, their 17th ship overall. It really shows their commitment to this modern, large-scale, tech-integrated design.
And it is large, 177,800 gross tons, carrying 4,300 passengers. That's huge. What does that mean for the experience on board, and when does she actually start sailing?
She's set to debut in fall 2025, kicks off with an 11-night med cruise from Barcelona. And that scale, well, it means Princess is aiming for itineraries where the ship is a major part of the destination.
Right.
Managing 4,300 guests, you need smart design. Lots of different spaces, public and private, so it doesn't feel, you know, overwhelmingly crowded.
And the Sphere class is known for some pretty unique features. Yeah. What makes Star Princess stand out?
Yeah, the Sphere class is all about creating these really impressive venues and improving passenger flow. You've got over 30 places to eat or grab a drink, which helps spread people out.
30? Wow.
Yeah. And they're leaning into premium stuff, too, like this exclusive Loveline liquor collection, which kind of nods to the ship's godparents, Matthew and Camilla McConaughey.
Ah, the McConaughey's, right.
But the really big architectural things are the dome, that huge glass-enclosed space at the top front of the ship.
Yes, looks amazing in the pictures.
It's designed to be a pool and relaxation spot during the day, but then at night, it transforms into this entertainment venue. They're doing things like a candlelight concert series in there.
Cool. And what about the main theater, the Princess Arena? Sounds like they're stepping up the production quality there, too.
Definitely. They're launching with two big new shows, Meridian, which sounds like a sort of glamorous high society at sea kind of theme, and then Illuminate, a spectacle of joy, which mixes circus vibes with high-tech effects.
So real Broadway-level ambition, it sounds like.
That seems to be the goal, making the ship itself a destination, not just the ports.
And after she debuts in Europe, her schedule looks packed. She's heading to the U.S. and then all over the place.
Yeah, it's a really ambitious first year or so. She comes over to Fort Lauderdale for her U.S. debut and naming ceremony in November 2025. Then she starts doing Caribbean runs, both Western and Eastern.
Okay, standard Caribbean season.
Right. But then the big one is April 2026. She does a massive 20-day Panama Canal transit. Starts in Fort Lauderdale, sails all the way through the canal, and ends up in Seattle.
Wow, 20 days. That's a serious repositioning.
It is, and it sets her up perfectly for the summer season.
Alaska, of course.
Exactly. Starting May 10th, 2026, she'll be doing those classic 7-day Alaska Inside Passage trips, round trip from Seattle, visiting Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, plus glacier viewing. So yeah, they built a ship designed for global reach, and they're putting her straight to work.
A truly global ship. Very impressive. Okay, so from Princess's new giant, let's switch focus to Disney Cruise Line. They've just officially taken delivery of their newest ship, the Disney Destiny. Different approach here, maybe.
A bit different, yeah. Still a big, modern ship. She's the third in their Wish class, built at Meyer Werft like her sisters. Yeah. And importantly, she's LNG powered.
Ah, liquefied natural gas. So focusing on sustainability, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a big push for Disney Cruise Line. And the industry generally, reducing that environmental impact. It's pretty much essential now for a global brand like Disney.
But the really unique thing about Disney Destiny, the thing everyone's talking about, is the theme, right? This heroes and villains concept.
Yes, that's the core idea shaping the whole ship.
Yeah.
It's not just general Disney magic. It's specifically built around this duality, heroes versus villains.
How does that actually play out on board?
It's everywhere. The entertainment, for example, in the Grand Hall Atrium, there's a musical show called Sounds of Wakanda, celebrating Black Panther.
Okay, hero sud.
Definitely. Then for adults, there's a Marvel comedy sketch show called With Great Power. and the main Broadway-style show in the theater. It's Hercules.
Hercules, perfect fit for heroes and villains.
Absolutely. And even the outside of the ship gets in on it. The artwork on the stern features Spider-Man tangling with his spider bots.
Ah, nice touch. What about food and the grown-up spaces? Bars and lounges.
They're deeply themed, too. One of the main dining rooms is Pride Lands, Peace to the Lion King. It's described as an interactive musical dinner theater.
It sounds very Disney.
Very Disney. There's also Worlds of Marvel Dining, which sounds like it ties into the Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe. But the adult lounges seem to lean more into the villain side, offering that sophisticated escape.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Well, there's the Sanctum, inspired by Doctor Strange, maybe straddles the line there. But then you've got DeVille's, themed around Cruella DeVille.
Okay, definitely villainous.
And maybe the most talked about one, the Haunted Mansion Parlor, which sounds delightfully spooky and sophisticated.
Wow, that level of theming is really something else. That's Disney's unique selling point, isn't it? So when can people actually sail on the Disney Destiny?
Her maiden voyage is set for November 20th, 2025. She'll sail out of Port Everglades, which is Fort Lauderdale.
Oh.
Initially, she's doing shorter cruises, 4 and 5 nights, mostly Bahamas and Western Caribbean. And importantly, these trips will include stops at Disney's private islands, Castaway Cay, and the newer Lighthouse Point.
Makes sense. Keep her close to home and those key Disney destinations at first.
Exactly. They've mentioned plans for longer 7-night Caribbean trips starting sometime in 2026.
Okay, so quite a day of news. We've covered the, let's call it the necessary crackdown on bad behavior, those bans, the fines, making sure rules have teeth.
Right, the enforcement side.
While at the same time, we're seeing just incredible new hardware hitting the water, these massive innovative ships like Star Princess and the incredibly themed Disney Destiny.
It really sums up the state of cruising, I think.
Yeah.
You have this push towards unbelievable experiences, LNG power, amazing venues like the Dome, the sheer complexity of building a ship for 4,300 people.
Yeah.
But to make that work, to deliver that amazing vacation everyone paid for, you absolutely have to control the environment. You need strict rules and you need to enforce them. The bigger and more spectacular the ship,
the more tightly you have to manage the experience.
Exactly. The innovation almost demands the stricter enforcement. It's all about protecting that experience for the thousands of guests on board, making sure everyone gets that safe, relaxing trip they expected.
A crucial balance for the industry to keep navigating. Well, that's certainly food for thought. Thanks for listening to Cruise News. Visit cruisenews.io to catch up on the latest updates and sign up for free email alerts.